blind because we brought a ton of it.
The sounds of the season. Doorbells. Greetings. Men hug-patting each other on the back. We come from far and wide to eat, drink, and make small talk with someone who has surprisingly strong opinions on the highway we should have taken here. It's a dangerous proposition, cramming 20 to 30 people into a house with only one downstairs bathroom. So why do we feel so compelled to come together for the holidays?
Hey, Jack, we're ready for you in here.
Coming. Here I come. I've got a surprise for you podcast listeners. I've got everyone in the family
here
to...
Here we go. Hey, Jack.
This is only three people.
If you can sing, that's four.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do this.
Going to a little place now, baby.
Woo!
On a rocket ship.
All right.
400 million miles above the Sunset Strip.
I'm loving it.
There's no class and no exams. No alimony checks, no traffic jams.
Yeah.
Give me your hand right, and I will get there soon.
Come on.
We're going to the lost moon.
Everybody, please. All right, quiet down.
Hey, David, you found
Jack, me. Jack, can you do me a favor and not have the family sing your weird theme song right now?
As a favor to you, David, you got it.
I just would prefer that people don't play that piano.
All right, David, we won't play that piano.
All right, it's not for playing. It's an 1800s looking piano.
I know, David.
All right, well, don't do it again. Boop.
Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, let's kick things off with a track that explores the sense of anticipation we get when we know family's coming over.
Have you heard? They say he's on his way.
Who?
Have you heard?
I think Grandma invited him.
Who? Him?
Not him.
Yes.
No.
Shit.
Uncle Mort.
Uncle Mort is coming to Christmas dinner. Why must we see him every single winter? Hide all the liquor and lock up the cat. Don't let him smoke next to great grandma Pat. Don't give him cash, don't shake his hand. Don't egg him on, please understand. Uncle Mort is coming, don't ask about his trial. Don't seat him next to a woman or a child. Why does he sigh when he gives you a hug? Why does he smell like an old dirty rug? Don't tell him about Facebook. Can anyone explain just how he is related? Don't let him talk about that woman that he dated. Don't let him see little Maggie in pajamas. Nobody mention a word about Obama. What are the odds? How can it be? Help us, O Lord, it's Christmas Eve. Uncle Mort is coming, Uncle Mort is coming, Uncle Mort is coming,
Uncle Mort
is coming, Uncle
Mort
is coming,
Uncle Mort.
Is this neighborhood all cops?
Uncle Mort is here!
All right, listeners. Well, I got a little chastised there by my brother David, so I've escaped to the coat room. I've got my eggnog, and, but that's neither here nor there, because we're at David's annual holiday gathering. My favorite person in the whole wide world is here. It's David's daughter, Chelsea. And a lot of my other family, who I can tolerate for sure, is here. And that's what brings me to the theme of this broadcast, and that's gatherings. I mean, how come all throughout human history have we felt the need to create holidays where people can just forget their other lives and come together and eat, drink, and be merry? You know, no matter what kind of gathering you're going to, whether it's a yoga retreat or a...
Oh my God, Jack, what are you doing in here?
Oh, hey, David.
Are you recording in here?
I might be.
Jack, why are you being so weird? It's always something different with you every year, whether you're complaining that Christmas is crass commercialism and we should all just exchange Native American greetings with each other, or the time you showed up with Jerry Garcia dressed as Santa Claus. Why can't you just be out there with the lawyers and the dentists and all the normal people and just act like a human being?
David, let me ask you a question. Why do you think we gather for the holidays?
Jack, are you recording this right now?
No, the microphone's off.
Turn it off.
All right.
Turn it off.
Okay.
Is it off?
Yep.
Jack, this is very important to me, okay? All right?
All right.
I just moved into this house, okay?
We're
trying to make a good impression on people, and I don't need my weird brother running around with his conspicuous demeanor.
David, why do you care so much what other people think?
Why do you care so little?
My brother David, everybody. Exactly how he's always been.
My first French kiss was Derek Sim. It was second semester last year. It was behind the bleachers for like 4 minutes, and it was really gross. I do not think he knew what he was doing. Okay, now it's my turn to ask Benji. Truth or dare?
Truth.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Okay. Benji, who do you think is the hottest teacher at school?
Okay, I want to say Mrs. Armstrong, but I think I'm going to have to go with Senora Becker.
Senora Becker!
There's something about Spanish teachers. Okay, Monica.
Yeah.
Truth or dare?
Truth.
Okay, who do you think is hotter? Robert Pattinson or Zac Efron?
Zac Efron.
He is so hot.
I know. Okay, Cassie.
Yeah.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
Ooh.
Okay. Steal a cop car.
What?
Steal a cop car.
She doesn't want to do it.
What do you mean?
Find a cop car and steal it.
Okay, actually, I think I'm going to do truth instead.
You can't.
I'm not going to steal a cop car. That's way too hard. How am I supposed to do that?
Cassie, chill out. Okay, basically, you have two options. You can either go down the street to the police station, because there'll be a bunch of them in the parking lot, and hope that there's keys in one of them, or else you'll have to hotwire it.
I don't even have my permit.
That's what makes it a good dare?
Now, look, the second option is that we all go out to the street and find a cop on patrol, and then, while we distract him, you climb into his car and drive away and then crash it.
You didn't say I had to crash it!
Well, I was going to say it earlier, but you cut me off.
You have to crash it. It's part of the dare.
I'm not crashing a cop car.
You're not going to do the dare?
No.
So you'll accept the punishment.
What's the punishment?
Rape a woman at a gas station.
What? Who decided that?
We all decided before the game. You got here late.
Show up on time next.
You guys are crazy. How would I even do that?
Use an object. Will you please do it so we can finish the round? I have a really good truth to ask.
Oh, what is it?
What 5 albums did you bring to a desert island?
Oh my God, Cassie, steal the car already so we could do Raul's.
Let's just go down to the street and see what happens.
I'm not stealing a cop car.
Oh, then why did you pick dare?
Because everyone was picking truth and I was just trying to spice up the game. This dare is completely out of proportion to the truths that we're being asked.
Cassie, if you don't want to steal a cop car, then you have the option of going to the gas station and raping the woman.
Yeah, just pick one of them so we can do the desert island question.
Okay. Since Cassie is being such a crybaby and ruining the game for everyone, let's give her one more option. Alternate dare, go into town and burn down a Korean-owned business.
What? Why would I do that?
To send a message.
Can we just skip me?
Oh, you want to use your pass? You're using your pass. Everybody gets one pass.
Why didn't you tell me I could do that?
Oh, we talked about it before the game. You haven't shown up on time.
Okay. I'm using my pass.
Fine. Raul, truth or dare?
Dare.
That was Korean-owned business by Monica and the Popular Table, investigating the darker turns a gathering can take. Maybe it was my visit with David that led me down that path. But now we've got something with a different vibe for you. I'm down in the basement with some of the kids of the parents of this gathering. I'm here with Brayden, he's 8 years old, and Lily, she's 6. I wish I could show you pictures of them because they're the embodiment of holiday cheer. Isn't that right, guys?
Yeah.
No.
Lily, why do you think people gather together during the holidays?
I think people gather together during the holidays because life is brutish and short, and it's important to know who your tribe is.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, also Cousin David has a great video game system.
Now, Lily is engrossed in some sort of video game.
I'm playing Assassin's Creed 3.
Assassin's Creed 3?
Yeah.
What happens in this thing?
Right now, I'm half Mohawk, and I'm on a revenge quest. I can use, like, a musket and a hatchet and a cannon.
Just giving it to the white man, aren't you, Lily?
Yeah.
Your voice is weird.
Well, that's your opinion, Brayden.
What is a face made for radio?
Well, that's a funny joke. Some people say about people who work in radio.
My mom said you had a face made for radio.
Brayden, let me ask you a question, buddy. Why do you think people get together on the holidays?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, anything. There's no right or wrong answer.
When a fly lands on your skin, it throws up and then it eats it, and that's how it gets the vitamins off your skin.
That's very true, Brayden. Very, very.
And if a bee stings you and you're allergic, and if more than one sting you, you can die.
There's lots of ways to die.
This conversation's really taking a turn.
What are you talking into?
This is a microphone, a recorder that I use.
What's a schlub?
A schlub is someone that doesn't really take care of themselves.
My dad said you're a schlub.
Well, your dad sells used pants, so you should make decisions for yourself. What do you think, Brayden? Am I a weird guy? Are my best years behind me? I think my best years are ahead of me.
No.
What if I gave you $5? Would that change your attitude?
No.
$10?
No.
I'll take a 20.
All right. Well, Lily and Brayden, thank you so much for talking with me. I had a time, and I guess it's a good place to play a track about families and the complicated relationships inside of them.
Well, it's Christmas time again, and that always finds me a little bit nostalgic for days gone by. Christmas in the Pumphrey household meant opening presents beside a roaring hearth and eating Mom's homemade flapjacks, and then dragging my younger brother Jonah out to the family woodshed to lay claim to all his best presents. Like all older brothers did in those days, I'd hit Jonah with a bar of soap wrapped in a sock. I'd always hit him just hard enough that it would hurt, but never so hard that it would leave a mark he could show her mother. At around 4, the doorbell would ring and in would pour the relatives, smiling and singing carols, and Jonah and I would run off with our cousins to show off our Christmas loot. I remember one year my cousins asked why Jonah had so few presents, and I told them that it was because he was a homosexual and my parents didn't want to encourage him. My older listeners will remember the sticking power that rumors had in those days when communities were close. Even 10 years later, my family harbored a skeptical attitude towards Jonah's sexuality. And then came the food. Remember the food, my God. There were green beans and corn pudding. There were yams with marshmallows and mashed potatoes with the skin left on. Jonah never liked dinner time as much as I did. because I would put bugs and pieces of metal into his mashed potatoes and then force him to eat them. Screws and pieces of brick that I found in the garden. I had him convinced that if he ever told our mother about it, I'd surprise him in his sleep by hitting him with a bunch of nickels and pennies wrapped in a sock. We'd put all sorts of things in socks in those days. It was a simpler time. Well, Christmas isn't the same since Mom and Dad passed on a few years back, and certainly not since Jonah took his own life in 1979. But sometimes the smell of green bean casserole or the sight of a rusty old dilapidated woodshed will remind me of those innocent days in the Pumphrey house. Merry Christmas, everybody.
And that was Carl Pumphrey with his annual Christmas address, originally broadcast on his long-running radio program, The Old Timey Almanac. You know, I met Carl at an NPR fundraiser once. He gave me an inspired wedgie. Took me 45 minutes to get my pants off that night, and I loved every one of them. We miss you, Carl. We hope you make parole this year. All right, listeners, well, I'm now standing outside of the kitchen where the magic happens, and there's no bigger magician than my Aunt Gertrude, and she's very protective of who comes in. Maybe she'll be so kind as to let us actually come in this year. Gertrude, can you hear me?
Who's there? Who's behind that door?
It's Jack, Gertie.
Oh, if it isn't my favorite nephew, come in. You come in here. Come in.
Oh, well, you're my favorite aunt, too, Gertrude. Oh,
stop.
Gertrude, let me ask you, why do you think we gather at the holidays?
I think it's because this is our chance to be together. That's the secret of it. Sharing our family traditions, our holiday traditions, it's a very special time.
You don't think it has anything to do with torture or to feel bad?
Well, it's not always an easy thing, having a whole family in a room together, but I think it's worth it for the good times.
But I gotta get down to the nitty-gritty here. What exactly are you making?
Well, you can see I've got the whole spread here.
Mm-hmm.
There's the turkey.
Delicious as always.
Yes, and this is a small game hen.
Oh.
Yeah, there's not enough for everybody, but there's four little ones, and I sit them around the turkey like it's little babies.
Do you ever name your turkeys?
Yes, always.
Well, what's this turkey's name?
Benjamin Disraeli, after the Prime Minister. Yeah, and the game hen is Michelle Obama, because I'm a big fan of hers.
Now, let me ask you something. This is off the record,
okay.
Richard, just you and me. I need to know the secret ingredient in your sweet potato casserole.
Oh, no, I couldn't. It's a secret
ingredient.
I've got to
know, Gertrude. No, I can't wait all year
to
make it.
This is my secret. We can't have this recipe getting out. It's a,
what's it
it's
gonna
a family
take?
Tradition, my family.
Gertrude, I've got a flask in my back pocket.
Oh, what's in
with
there?
Some rare cream sherry.
Oh, you
know
the magic words.
You've got a
yes,
real thing
I
for
do.
Cream
I
sherry.
I have a sweet tooth when it comes to cream sherry. All right. Okay, but Jack, this has to be just between you and me.
Scout's honor.
All right. The secret ingredient is documents.
I'm sorry?
Important family documents. Wills, deeds, immigration papers, social security cards, all of that stuff. Things you need to show from time to time.
You put documents
inside
of... Yes,
official things. Well, not the whole documents. I take them and I grind them up into a sort of paste with water and milk and just a dash of flour, and then that goes right into the sweet potato casserole.
Well, who's in... Well, what family important documents are in there this year?
It's my social security card and your father's Disney stock. And that just drizzles right over all the sweet potatoes and then the marshmallows and a thermometer's worth of mercury, and into the oven it goes.
Well, Gertrude, that's definitely something we'd serve on the lost moon of Jupiter, that's
oh, well, maybe
for sure.
That, maybe you'll take it back with you now.
I look forward to doing just that. All this talk of documents reminds me my producer, Alan, will never forgive me if I forget to play the sponsor's message. So here it is.
Is everything ready?
I've got the balloons and streamers. Somebody put out the cake.
Your family memories are meant to last a lifetime.
Shh, shh, she'll be here any minute.
So you'll want to document every precious moment.
Okay, turn out the lights. When she opens the door, we're all gonna yell.
With our competitive pricing, Glen Ellen Photography can provide you with the retouching, printing, and framing you'll need to remember this special time.
Oh, okay, that's her.
Surprise!
What the fuck? Holy shit, you scared the living crap out of me!
Happy birthday, Barbara.
Happy birthday? Is that a fucking joke? You almost gave me a goddamn heart attack. Happy birthday?
It's a surprise party, Barbara.
Mary, what the fuck is wrong with you? Is this your idea of a fucking joke? Motherfucker, I swear to God!
Gosh, Barbara, I'm really sorry.
Glen Ellen Photography, because a picture says 1,000 words.
Okay, we're getting close to the main event here, folks. I'd hope to have Chelsea read you something special before dinner, but I can't seem to find her. So let's forge ahead with a track about someone heading to a family gathering that is not their own.
These old Virginia mountains look so lonesome through the dusty windows of this burned out Chevrolet. This holiday is made for being with the ones you love. And oh my love, this rebel's on his way. Driving down that lonely road on Kwanzaa, dreaming that I'll one day have you near. Your green and black dashiki gently blowing in the breeze as you whisper Habari Gani in my ear. You know these winter roads are cold and empty. I long to hear that old djembe play as you set the dinner table for the feast of Kilimu. Leave a place for a traveler on his way. Driving down that lonely road on Kwanzaa, wearing a caftan in my mind. My only road map is Nukuzisaba, the 7 principles of blackness for mankind. Umoja for unity, Imani for faith, Nia for purpose, for the whole African race. Of course, there are 2 more that now escape me, and they're equally important, I am sure. And you'll remind me of their names and meanings when my rusty pickup pulls up at your door. I haven't always celebrated Kwanzaa. It's not something most Virginia rebels do. But I'll push on through the night till I reach Harlem and wake up Kwanzaa morning next to you. Nakupenda Inukila Kumsilu.
Yeah, get the dog a chair. So we're coming to the end of our show here. We're approaching the gathering of our own. It looks incredible. You can hear everyone enjoying what they're seeing, getting their stomachs ready to enjoy a feast.
Okay, hi, everybody. You all know me. David, it's great to have everybody here. I just wanted to take a moment and toast everyone who contributed to today. Aunt Gertrude made all the food, huh? Give it up for her.
You're not impressing anyone, David.
Okay, thank you, Gertie. It's just really great to be surrounded by all the people who are important to me. My lovely wife, Linda, and the Homeowners Association. Why are we here? What is Christmas? I think that today, if anything, is a day where we just take a break and make sure that everything goes smoothly. Well, anyway, that's enough out of me. Let's eat.
Hey, Uncle Jack.
Hey, it's my niece, Chelsea. How you doing? Where you been this whole time?
Well, I was upstairs in my room. I was writing the poem you asked me to write.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I didn't know it would take this long. You kind of missed the whole day there, didn't you?
No, it's okay. Every year I find an excuse to be up in my room for most of dinner anyway.
Well, that's great, Chelsea. I really want to hear the poem, so come on, let's go outside so I can really get a good grasp on it.
Okay, cool. So I don't know how good it is, because I just wrote it pretty quickly.
Don't worry about that, Chelsea. I'm just thrilled to hear some of your original work.
Okay. Why We Gather, an original poem by Chelsea.
Sounds good.
Okay. You posed a question, I thought it strange. What did the answer matter? Yet still you asked it, and so I repeat, why do families gather?
Great.
This holiday sham, this annual lie, the yearly ancestral curse.
Okay.
We come and make chit-chat, all the time knowing we're 12 months nearer the hearse. We wear garish sweaters, exchange bourgeois gifts, stuff our gullets with food. Allow cheeks to be kissed, although it repels us, because to say no would be rude. That's about Aunt Gertrude.
Oh, well, now I get it.
And she does it every year. I thought long and hard in my tomb of a room, mused on this grotesque ritual. Is there a true purpose that brings us together, or is gathering merely habitual?
Interesting.
That's my best rhyme in it.
It's deep, Chelsea. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, I'm almost at the end. And that's when I realized, alone in my chamber, hearing the voices downstairs, alone, I'm one person, but as part of a group, I know there are others who care. And so just once a year, it's nice to remember I belong to a family. And though their ideals are barren, misguided, and wrong, it's better than being just me. The end.
Wow. Bravo, Chelsea. That is a new classic. I think our listeners will agree.
Okay, it's just a first draft, so...
I think it's a final draft, if you want my opinion.
Okay, thanks, Uncle Jack.
Well, folks, whether you're getting together to celebrate Kwanzaa or Christmas or just getting together at the local deli and sampling some holiday meats, I hope whatever you're doing, you're having fun doing it. This is Jupiter Jack with Lost Moon Radio's podcast. Have a good one, folks.